All right. So I want to talk to you today about judging yourself. And most times you talk about judging yourself, you might say, well, that's not good. I want you to understand, by the time we get done, you're going to understand it's good to judge yourself. See, some of you, I don't even know what you're talking about. No. Somebody say, it's good to judge myself. But I want to show you in the passages in the scripture why it's good to judge yourself. Why is that a good thing? Okay. Number one, let's talk about I'm going to tell you reasons why it's good. Number one, why is it good? Here's why. Because when you are looking at yourself, you tend to not be looking at others. When you are looking at yourself, you tend not to be looking at others. You know, people get in car accidents all the time. Here's why. Because they're reaching over to find their glasses. And they're reaching to find their glasses or Doritos or whatever it is. And they're trying to reach. And as they're reaching, what are they doing with their eyes? Their eyes are following their hands. They get their eyes off the road and boom, all of a sudden, somebody stopped in front of them. They didn't know it. Boom. They crash into them. See, in our society, you know what? It permeates a society that we're so interested, we're so aware of what's going on. What are other people's doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? What are they doing many times? What are they doing wrong? You know, somebody gets drunk and they crash up their car. Boy, man, that's news. You know what I mean? Oh, this person. And it's just, you know what? Just junk. And we're very aware of what's going on. What are they doing? And what's this person doing? And what are they doing? And all this stuff. Here's the problem. When you're spending all this time observing what other people and the faults of other people, you don't even see what's going on in your heart. Does this make sense? You don't even see it. Go to the verse. Look at this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 11. And he said, who told you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should now? Say, keep it here. Go back. So here's what's happening. This is God speaking to Adam. And he's telling Adam, here's my question. Adam's taken of the tree. He recognizes, you know what, that he's naked. Before that, the glory of God's on him. Doesn't even notice. But he notices, you know, he's done what God told him not to do. But notice the question. Who told you were naked? What's the question? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not? What is the question? Have you done that? Pretty simple, right? Pretty straightforward, right? Notice what he answers. Look at what he answers. Then the man said, the woman who you gave to me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Keep it right here. How many know he doesn't even answer the question? What, Adam, you know, did you do that? Doesn't even answer the question. You know what? He says, no, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you whose fault it is. It's not my fault. And notice who he blames. He blames, who does he blame? No, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's her fault. Amen? Is that not right? It's her fault. And notice what he does. He not only blames the woman, watch this, the woman whom you gave me. God, if you would give me this one, I was fine. Do you notice, God? You know what? But there's no eating, nothing. I wasn't eating nothing before she got here. Right? What is the obvious problem? The obvious problem is this. That when you're so busy looking at somebody else, you don't even notice the issue. You don't even notice the issue. People walking around thinking, I don't do anything. Listen. Many times, you know what? That very person who's blaming someone else, you know what? The very issue is going on in their life. I told this first service, you know what? How many know this? If you have like sunglasses that are green tinge, how many know you put those on? What does everybody look like? Everybody looks green. I got these one glasses. You know what? I don't know where I picked them up. I don't know how I got them. But they're like this bright orange and pink all at the same time. And I put those on and everybody's like radiant. You know what I mean? Whoa. You know what? Here's what happens. The very issue that you're seeing other people's lives is usually the issue that's predominant in your life. It just is. And Adam has an issue. But he can't fix this issue because he's too busy looking at his wife's issue. And if you keep on looking at some, why is it so good for you to be inspect yourself? Because, you know what? When you're inspecting yourself, you're not inspecting others. You don't know anybody like this? And you know, they're like, oh, this person, you know, you talk, oh, they, you know, oh, they, you know, many times at work, oh, this manager does this, and this manager does this, and this manager, you know, all this, oh, you know, oh, this employee. You're like, yeah. You know, what if you just came to work with a good attitude and even with everybody else's faults, started working on your own faults? Started working on your own issues? How many of that would probably be a good day? How many of that would probably be a good day? And how many know we all got issues? But when you're dealing with my issues, there's a big problem. You know why? Because you're not dealing with your issue. That's what he's not dealing with his issues. He's too busy looking at somebody else. Number one. Number two, go to the next point. Not the next scripture, the next point. Number two, you know why it's good to look at what's going on in your own life? Here's why. Because you can really only fix one person. How many know you can really only fix one person? Who is that person that you can fix? Yourself. Listen, how many know you can't even fix your spouse? It's a big area. It's a big problem with couples. You know what? You know, when you're dating, you're like, oh, I love her because she's so spontaneous. You know, she's so spontaneous. You know what I mean? How many know you pick people? I heard Jimmy Evans teach on this so good. He said, you know what? It's God's purpose that you pick somebody opposite of you. Don't let Satan, you know, lie to you. We don't even have anything in common. We're so different. Well, duh, that was God's plan, amen? Because you needed the opposite from you, amen? Hello? How many, do we got savers in the room? Do we got spenders in the room? You know what I mean? I can almost guarantee you, you know what? There's one part is a saver and one part's a spender. You know what I mean? And the spender's like, well, I don't know what your problem. You're always spending money. You know what I mean? Or your problem, you're always saving money. You know what I mean? Never do nothing fun. You know what I mean? Amen. If it were up to me, we would be living in a house with... It'd be a nice house, that's for sure. But it would have, you know what, not hardly any furniture. Would have a good stereo, that's for sure. But you know what, it wouldn't be like our house is. I mean, our house, you know what, it's nice. Yeah, how many have been in my house? It's nice, right? How many know now I like our house, amen? Tamara has, we got all kinds of places to go. You know, you can go outside. You can go over here. You can go in the front. You can go. It's nice. Amen? How many like that? Say, well, I like that. But see, I had to recognize, I had to calm down as far as my savings concerned. I'm not saying you can't save. I'm not saying you shouldn't save. Here, you want to be rich? Let me teach you something. Tithe first. 10% tithe, 10% save. Spend 80%. I guarantee you, in a short, I know not a long period, in a short period of time, you will be more wealthy than you can imagine. Amen. Oh, didn't I get a lot of amens on that? Amen. See, you got to spend less. Like you got to spend less than you might. Okay, moving right along. But my point is, when you were dating, you know what? You loved that they were opposite. Now you're like, oh, dude, boy, they're too spontaneous. No, they're not. They're just not you. Amen. How many know you got areas to fix? And here's what happens with couples. Couples are so busy trying to fix their spouse that they don't spend any time with their issues. And you can only, how many know you can't fix your spouse? Come on, somebody. Somebody don't want to raise their hand. You can't. I just trust me, you can. But you can fix you. Amen. And if you were working on you and she was working on her, then how many know that'd be a good day? That you're working on you. Appreciate Pastor George and what he said. Listen, you can't fix me, amen? You can't fix me and stop trying, amen? I don't like your new haircut. I don't like your hairstyle. Listen, did you notice? I didn't ask you. I am smiling, right? I don't care if you don't like my hair. I care. She likes my hair. Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
But we get all opinionated. You know what? And what we need to do is, no. The problem is why it's good to be introspective is because you can only fix you. But if you'll focus on you, you can fix you. Look at this passage. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. He brought an offering. Notice what it says. Doesn't say the first fruit. He brought an offering of the ground, not the first fruits. I'll show you why that's important in a minute. Next verse. Cain also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Everybody say the firstborn. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. There's a lot of people say a lot of different things about why God respected the one and didn't respect the other. But I believe the most logical thing is what the text says, points out, is that the one brother brought the first fruit. The other brother brought something of. Amen? So let me teach you something here. I have 10 $10 bills. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10. What's the tithe? Everybody say number one. Why? You say, no, but tithe is just a tenth. Tithe isn't just a tenth. Tithe is the first tenth. Listen, that's really important because let me tell you what God is looking. He's not just looking. He's not looking for if you have 10% at the end of the month, give it to him. Listen to me. God doesn't want your leftovers. He doesn't, guys. And listen, you're not going to find this. A lot of churches are not going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell it to you. Let me tell you why. Pastor George is going to tell it to you if you come to Esperanza. Why? Because you know what? We love you and we want you to know the truth. Most people, you can't rub two nickels together. Amen. And can I tell you why? Because they're caught up. Oh, this is so good. Because they're caught up in the Babylon system. You know, the Bible says that the slave is that the borrower is subject to the lender. The Bible says, one version says, the borrower is a slave to the lender. And most people, you know, I'm talking about most Christian people. Pastor, you talking about me? Listen, if you get offended when I start talking about finances and your responsibility to bring the tithe into the storehouse, if that offends you, then you're going to be offended in this church. But let me tell you why I'm going to tell it to you, because most pastors won't tell it to you. We're filled with churches of people, and you know what? And they just are not doing what got their financial responsibility to the church. And who in the world, the buyers of the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. What was given to us? The responsibility to get Pico Rivera saved. Listen, we're not going to do that with 38 cents. We're not going to do that by people coming to church and just receiving, and not giving. That's unbiblical. Paul says, how is it that when you come, you don't have anything to give? We've been inundated by churches, and the only thing that the pastor talks about, and thank God, how many know you come to this church, you're going to get a good meal? I'll try it again. How many know if you come to this church, you're going to get a biblical meal, you're going to walk away with something you can bite into, amen? How many know that's true? But you know what? We've got to teach the whole counsel of God. Church is about coming in with your portion. Oh, hallelujah. This is good. And the portion is, watch this, the portion isn't that, you know what? Why? Because we're living in Babylon system. The Visa, the MasterCard, the, you know what, you know, Ford Motor Company makes a huge portion of what they make on the Ford Finance. Oh, it's getting real quiet in here. Because they'll figure out how they can finance your vehicle. Amen? Which I'm not, is there something wrong with having, there's nothing wrong with having a new car. Amen? Matter of fact, give me your keys. Let me drive your new car. Amen? I will enjoy it. But here's what I am saying. Listen, here's what I am saying. That the Babylon system, where most people, Christians fall, is they never walk in the blessings of God. Because they can't. Because they're walking in the curse. What's happened? Here's what's happened. They're in lust. You thought you could only lust after someone in, you know what, in a bikini. No. People lust all the time. What is lust? Lust is wanting something that you don't have. And people, actually, the majority of the body of Christ isn't a sexual lust. It's a material lust. I had one guy say, Pastor, you talk way too much about tithing. Way too much about tithing. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? You know, one of the biggest sins in the body of Christ is self-centeredness. Amen? Oh, you want to tie my hands and not talk about that? Are you kidding me? No, we're going to talk about it. Why? Because it's important. What's the issue here? Here's the issue. You know what? He's not bringing the first fruits. You know what? Many people, you know what? You wait till the end of the month, and if you got $30, you'll give $5 to God. And that is not what God intends for us to walk. Here's what God intends us to walk in: the supernatural blessings of God. See, you're so running your life. Listen, I got good news for you. You don't have to figure out your own finances. If you'll tithe and give, God is obligated to figure out your finances. Listen to me. You will be in a better place. I know, and I'm not saying I don't believe this. But I know one pastor who believes so much of the tithe, he says, you tithe, you know what, for whatever he says, 3 months. And if you haven't seen the blessings of God in all kinds of areas in your life, you come to me and I'll refund every penny. That's a pastor who believes in the tithe. So you know why I teach you the tithe? Here's why. Because I know it'll work. I don't know if you'll do it. And I'm not asking for after the end of the month for you to figure out what it is and, you know what, and try to do it. That's not what I'm saying. What the tithe is the first fruits. What the first fruits is saying before anything comes in, before you've paid any bill, the first thing you're going to do is give God his portion. That does two things. God loves it when you do it because you show God that you're putting your trust in God. Amen? I'm just saying. No, but notice what he says to Cain. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. You know, sometimes when you tell people the truth, they get mad at you. Notice, look at Jesus, look at God's response. Look at God's response to Cain. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? Look what he says to him. Watch this. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Listen, the examination that I'm asking you to do in your life, and part of it is coming to church. How many know I'm going to tell you the truth? How many know I'm not walking around and saying, Angel, what should I preach tomorrow? What would tickle your ears? You know what I mean? Camille, what do you think? What would be good? You know, what do you think? You know, notice I'm not asking for this group's opinion. You know what I mean? I'm preaching what I feel the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart that you need to hear. And I know some people are going to like it. Some people are going to love it. Some people are going to struggle with it. I understand that. But listen, struggle with God, what he tells you. But recognize everything God tells you is good. That he only is, his commandments are not burdensome. They're not. And this is one area that people have, and people are so foolish, because let me tell you what, God can't lie. If you will bring the first fruits in and start making it happen, get together with your spouse, you know what I mean? Get together with your spouse and tell them, hey, man, do you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us? Man, we got to do that. What is it? Figure it out. And then you bring that in. Somebody say it. Thank you. Here's the hint, okay? And you bring it in. Bring it in first. My point is, listen, God is saying to us, listen, you can change you. You can change your life. You don't have to. Just because you always have been selfish, just because you've always been unforgiving, just because you always, yeah, but you know, my uncle had a temper. My grandpa had a temper. My great-grandpa had a temper. So what? Stop identifying with those dingleberries. Amen. Stop it. Stop it. You make a decision. And I don't even care if you were, you know, if you have been part of that. If you've been selfish or you've been unloving, you've been unforgiving, you've been angry, you spaz out on your kids. You know what I mean? I know none of you spaz out on your kids. You know what I mean? You're crazy. Stop it. Amen. Go to your kids, say, hey, you know what? Dad's been crazy and I'm sorry. But I'm not going to do that anymore. And you might not do it perfectly overnight. But I tell you what, God says to Cain, you got this. You don't have to be angry. Don't be angry at me. I like what Paul says. Paul says this as he's writing one church. He says, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? That's what's happening here. God becomes Cain's enemy. God's not Cain's enemy. When God corrects you, he is showing love to you. So inspect yourself, recognizing that you can change. How many know anybody can change? If they'll be obedient to what God asks them to do. And I'm not saying sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes in your mind, listen to me. Sometimes in your mind, it will, what's that word? It's counterintuitive. You know what that means? It means your mind is screaming, don't do this! Listen, if all you do is listen to your head, you are set for a miserable life. Because your flesh is going to get you in trouble. Your mind is part of your flesh. It'll get you in trouble. It's not that, I love you guys. I'm smiling, right? We're not that smart. So that's what the Bible says, lean not into your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways. Amen? God's not against you. God's not against Cain. But he will speak directly to people. Are you learning something? He will speak directly to people. Amen. Thank you, men in the back. He will speak directly to you. Do we got another scripture on here? Yes, thank you. James. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Everybody say slow to wrath. Listen, watch this next verse. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of man. I'm so mad. You know what I mean? You make me mad. You know what? God points out to me what's wrong, what I'm doing wrong. He's pointing out to you that because he loves you. Stop getting mad at God. The wrath of man isn't going to produce the righteousness of God. Stop being upset. Don't be upset with me. Don't go to another church because you're called here. Amen. And you can go to another church and find that, you know, I like that pastor because he never says selfishness. Listen, I don't need a golf instructor who won't teach me how to not hook it to the left if I'm hooking it to the left. Amen. Does that make sense? I need somebody to help me. Amen. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. You know what? So many people, if any correction comes, you know what? The key is, let me get mad at them. I'll tell them. I'll get mad at them. Because they make me mad. Do I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth? No. Aren't you grateful for people who've been lovey enough to tell you the truth? Aren't those the people that we really need to love? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Why is it good to inspect ourselves? Number one, because when you're looking at yourself, you tend not to look at others. Number two, because you can really only fix one person. But listen, you can't fix yourself. Stop thinking you can't. If you just say, I'll try. And here's the thing. Don't be deceived. You won't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You're going to reap a harvest. You're going to reap a good harvest. But you need to sow good seeds. Number three, it's good to inspect yourself. Why? Because this is how you begin to start looking like Jesus. Look at James. Look at James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside filthiness and overflow wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. I won't even ask you to raise your hand. How many have stuff? Oh, I will ask you to raise your hand. How many have stuff in your life and you'd like to change? Amen? Okay. See, all over. How do we do that? How does that happen? How do we lay aside filthiness and overflow of wickedness? How do we do that and receive with meekness the implanted word? It's the implanted word that does it, which is able to save your souls. You know what the word of God is going to do? It's going to save your soul. Let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It does mean that you're going to go to heaven. Praise God. But it means more than just go to heaven. It means you're going to be healed. It means you're going to be whole. It means you're going to be delivered. It means you're going to walk in his healing power in your body. It means you're going to be able to pay off all your debt and be able to buy somebody else's, you know what, pay somebody else's rent. See, there's a place in God that you can stop worrying about your own rent, about your own house payment, and that thing's paid off, that thing's taken care of, and you can pay somebody else's car payment. Oh, hallelujah, amen. Some of you are like, I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. You will if you start doing it God's way. You say, Pastor, that's manipulation. No, that is the truth. That is the absolute truth. But how do you do that? You're going to have to stop listening to what you say and what your goofball uncle says. You know what I mean? We listen to our goofball uncles way too much. Amen? People in the family. Ungodly people in the family that influence us to make wrong decisions. Amen? Amen. 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 We need to not listen to them. We can love them, but just because we love them doesn't mean, yeah, but that's my aunt, that's my favorite aunt. You know, she takes me to Taco Bell every other week. So what? Amen? Let her take her to Taco Bell. But you start influencing her. Stop thinking that you're going to be the one that's influenced, because she's leading you in the wrong direction. Amen? Amen? How what does it do? This implanted word saves our soul. Next verse. But be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. See, God's speaking to you, but you have to do what he says. You can't just, No, listen. God could be speaking to you today. Praise God. You know, I'm so glad that Tamara's here, because she really needs to hear this. Oh, thank God. I hope she's hearing that. My spouse really needs to hear this message. No, you need to hear this message. And you not only need to hear this message, but then you need to apply the message. Because that's where the blessing comes. Not being just a hearer, but being a doer. See, that's where self-inspection. You need to go, oh, wait. What do I do? What am I doing? I didn't say it on a Sunday. What are you doing on a Monday? Let's judge ourselves for Monday. Amen? Amen. Next verse. Watch this. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, who do you think these people are? Who do you think these people are? Come on, think. Who do you think these people might be? They hear it, but they don't do it. What? Deceived. Who else might they be? Hypocrites, yeah. Who else might they be? They hear the word. What? Ourselves. Yeah, that's not one. Who might these people be? What kind of people might these people be? Rebellious? Or religious? Now we're getting closer. Pharisees? Ding, 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 ding. What'd you say? People in church. Now, does that mean everybody in church acts like? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just pointing out that these people are hearers of the word. Do you catch that? See, one of the things that, one of the reasons why this is being preached to you today is because we can't be these people. We can't just, listen, having heard isn't having done. And I thank God that you're here. I thank God that you're here. I thank God that you're here. Praise God. Were they winning yesterday anytime, point in time? The Dodgers. They were. What? They were winning yesterday in the ninth inning. Thank God. Woo! The Dodgers were winning in the ninth inning. Okay. Were the Angels? Not a point. Okay. So they were winning. Did they win? They lost. Listen. I thank God that you're here. It's important that you show up to hear. But how many know hearing is just the first part? We've got to do the word of God. Watch this. If anyone is a hearer and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. Watch this. Next verse. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in what he does. Amen. He'll be blessed in what he what? Notice it doesn't say he'll be blessed in what he hears. Yeah, but faith comes through hearing the word of God. I know, hearing's important. But what James points out is hearing is not enough. See, you've got to, and here's what happens. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you and he examines you. You've got a willingness to go, oh. So I'll end with this silly story. So yesterday, you know what? I was having a chocolate chip cookie. It was delicioso. I learned that from Dora the Explorer. I'm just saying. So it was delicioso, but in the morning, this is such a funny story. Tamara, I'll add to this story. So Joel tells me, "Hey, Pastor, you know." So what did I do? Okay, you know what I mean. I don't go. Did I get it? I don't even say that. I just. Oh. Later on, I see Carlos. Carlos says to me, "Hey, Pastor." What I do? Oh, I didn't get it 10 minutes ago. I got it now, though. Okay. That's like at 10, 11 o'clock. No, it was 12 o'clock. At 4:30, I come home. Guess what my wife says? She says, what do you got on your face? See, here's the silliness. I'm walking around all day with chocolate chip cookie on my face. But I'm not walking around with chocolate chip cookie on my face like, you know, it's like when you have something on your teeth, you're like, you're all careful. No, I'm like, hey, what's up? What's going on? I'm a dork, but I just don't know how dorky I am. Why? Because I'm not looking in a mirror. You know the Bible calls this? This is our mirror. So you come to church and the mirror exposes that you're sometimes don't tell the truth. I think, oh man. But you get it off because the mirror exposes it. You see it. You find out, maybe today, I don't know. Maybe somebody feels convicted about self-centeredness and selfishness in their finances. Wow, I got it off. Maybe somebody's walking in unforgiveness, and you'll come and we'll talk about that. Maybe somebody's walking in selfishness. Maybe somebody's walking in greed or, you know what, I don't know, adultery for all I know, I don't know. We deal with all these issues. Why? Because they're in the Bible. We talk about real issues. How many of these are issues that people have? And as we're looking at it, let me just ask you, how many have recognized, you're not perfect, but how many recognize since you've been coming to this church, you're getting better? How many raise your hand and say, I'm getting better, Pastor? Let me tell you why you're getting better. Because the perfect law of liberty is exposing to you areas that you need to wipe off. Thank God for that. See, listen, self-examination is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Yeah. Let me say this. You're looking more like Jesus. And Tamara and I are very proud of you. Because we know. We see your sweetness. We experience what's happening in a church. We know that families are getting, I'm not saying perfect. Pastor, I still put the dis in dysfunction. You know what I mean? I understand that. I understand that. But you're better than you were.
I was saying in the first service, it's interesting because when I saw him at 4:30 and he had stuff on his face, and it's the first thing I said to him is, what is on your face? He wasn't wearing that on his face because someone didn't care enough about him to tell him that it was there. Two people had already told him throughout the day that it was there. How did he deal with it? He dealt with it like this, you know. There, that's good enough. Was it good enough? It was not. But only he could take himself in front of a mirror and get some water and a rag to really deal with it. But he just wasn't that concerned about it. Didn't matter to him. I mean, he thought he had it. And so because he went like this, he thinks it's handled. But it wasn't handled. And so when the second round came around and someone said, hey, Pastor, oh. So then he did a couple times. He still thinks it's handled now. But it wasn't handled. In Genesis, when we see Adam, why are you saying all that? Why are we talking about pastor like that? Didn't we just talk about gossip? Well, first of all, that's not gossip. But in Genesis, when God asks him, and he immediately does what we have a tendency to do, he begins to deflect. The woman that you gave me. But if you'll go ahead and go back in Genesis and look at how that ends, God is only dealing with Adam. Here's what he's dealing with him on. What did I tell you to do? That's it. See, it doesn't matter what he did. It doesn't matter where he came from. It doesn't matter. Adam's trying to almost put some blame on God. You gave her to me. She's the one who brought it. So it's kind of on God. It's on Eve. But it's not on Adam. In Adam's opinion. But Adam's opinion doesn't matter to the end of the story. Exactly what God said was going to happen, happened. The only thing that mattered, what did I say and what did you do? And that's the same way it's going to play out for all of us. The Bible talks about the Word of God being a mirror to us. If Pastor Drew had gotten in front of a mirror after Joel spoke with him, Carlos never would have been able to bring it up, because Pastor Drew would have seen and then dealt with it. But he didn't get in front of a mirror after Joel spoke with him, and he didn't get in front of a mirror after Carlos spoke with him. And I don't know, brother. Did you go to a mirror after I spoke with you? I don't know. See, he didn't get into a mirror then either. So Pastor Drew obviously kind of doesn't care whether he had cookie on his face or not. But we're not talking about cookies. We're talking about our soul. We're talking about where we're going to spend eternity. We're talking about whether we have lordship or whether we don't have lordship. Because that's really what it comes down. I want to share with you a scripture in John chapter 12, verse 48. It says, "There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words which I have spoken will condemn them in the last day. For I did not speak my own, but the will of the Father who sent me and commanded me to say these things that I have spoken." So the written word, which is supposed to be a mirror to us, in John there, he's telling us that is, it's his words that he's already spoken that's going to judge us. So when I, you know what, look into the mirror and I see here that I need to forgive people, and I need to walk into forgiveness, but then I pull an Adam, and I, instead of looking at this and letting this deal with me and then submitting my will to it and working it all out, instead of doing that, I step over here away from the mirror and I say, "Oh, you don't understand what they did to me. You don't know. Like, let me tell you something. You think you've been betrayed? You have no idea. Let me tell you what happened to me." I'm no longer in front of the mirror. And I begin, you know what, just justifying and living in my own junk like Adam did. But what John is telling me in chapter 12, listen, Adam, when all that was going on, he ended up with God, in front of God, answering to God. And that's exactly where each one of us will end up. With God, in front of God, answering to God for ourselves. And all, Eve didn't matter, and where she came from didn't matter. Nothing mattered. All that mattered, what did I tell you? What did you do? What did I tell you? What did you do? The same thing is going to be for us. So when I stand before God and I can go, "Yeah, but you know what?" And she was my best friend and she did that, Lord. And you have no idea how much it hurt me. Okay. I got to get back over here. And when I look in the mirror, as I forgive others, that's how I'm going to be forgiven. If I don't forgive others, then God will not forgive me. Is that a good mirror to look into? I mean, should I get a grip on that? See, I need to understand that at the end of the day, that's it. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It'll never pass away. It'll never change. And God is not going to become a liar for me. I am not the exception to what he has said in his word. What is our judge? What does John tell us there? The judge is not Jesus, like, not God, not like when we get in front of God and then he's going to go, "Let me think about it. Okay. Yeah, that was really bad. Okay. You come on in." It's not going to go like that. The judge is right here. There you go. Everyone, this is the judge. The judge isn't changing. The judge is final. It's never going to change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when my time and your time comes, we're gonna step in We're going to answer to God. And when we step over here and we're away from the mirror that shows us the truth, we don't see it that way. Why? Because we've chosen not to. We've chosen to step over here and justify and make us the exception to that. But when all is said and done, there is no other plan except for this plan. And God's going to say, what did I tell you? What did you do? Okay, here's how that thing shakes out then. Decisions already made. Does that make sense to everyone? Is that clear? Decisions already made. So now you, the only thing you get to decide is are you gonna live by what the mirror is telling you and wipe off your face? Or are you gonna say, you're not gonna look in the mirror and you're not gonna face the truth? And you're going to deceive yourself, quite frankly, and just live a whole different way. And that's okay for you. Because God knows your heart. It's not okay for us. God's not a man that he can lie. And only you, here's the great news about that. Only you can control you. People can't control you. They cannot... I was talking to someone. I said, you know what? They can take this from you. It was a material thing. I said, but they can't take your joy unless you give it to them. Don't give it to them. Don't give them your joy. Don't give them your peace. You have to give that away. They can't take that from you. Now you can look. You know, we all got stuff to deal with. But as we deal with our stuff, we've got to make sure that's how we have lordship. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord all day long. It'll never change. But whether or not he's your Lord is your decision. See, no matter how bad I've been hurt, no matter what has taken place, only I can decide to step away from the mirror and ignore the truth. People can't do that for me. Which is why God's going to hold me 200% responsible for me. But we're so much smarter to take whatever the hurts are, whatever the challenges are, whatever the situations are, stay in front of the truth. Because there's not only truth of what's there, but there's also a lot of truth in there that God's with me. And he'll never leave me. And he'll never forsake me. And he's my helper. And he'll get me out of my messes when I do what he tells me to do. When I allow him to be my Lord and to lead me and to make my decisions and to tell me what to do and what not to do, he will take me, you know what, to a green pasture. And so that's a better way to live. Amen? Amen. 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 As we were talking earlier with Pastor George's encouragement to us, I want to say something. Whenever gossip is taking place, pretty much right away there's three people who are going to get hurt. The person who's talking is being hurt. The person who's listening is going to get hurt. And the person who you're talking about is usually probably going to get hurt. So it's a minimum of a three-strike hit, right? As soon as you open your mouth. And we have a responsibility to, I say that for this reason, we have a responsibility to not just be the talker, but we have a responsibility to not be the listener. And we have a responsibility to be our brother's keeper and shut it down. Does that make sense? In the kitchen that day, you know what, when that, I could have just kept on selling coffee and mopping the floor and minding my own business like it was not my business. But it is my business. It's my business all day long. Because it's about the health of the church. It's about the souls of those people. And there were several of us in the kitchen. So, in that instance, there was many listeners in the kitchen. Does that make sense? So why are you talking about that again? I'm talking about it to say this. Make sure you pull a Tamara. Someone is saying, see, this is how we do not let Satan be Lord of our church. If we do his ways, then he's our master, right? But if we do God's ways, God's our master. Is three people involved there, minimum? Be sure that you're standing for righteousness, is what the Bible calls it. Be sure that you're your brother's keeper. Is it, whoa, no. I'm sorry, that's not edifying. I don't want to hear that. If people will do that, then this can't creep in the church. If people won't do that, this can become wildfire. In the church, in the grocery store, y'all know it's in the grocery store, right? And what about wherever you work, you know, in the bank and in here and in there? We all see it. That's because it's not dealt with there. That's because people don't have a standard there that this should not be. But God has a standard, and we're God's people. That means it has to be your standard. That you just go, whoa, stop. No. Don't go there. I don't want to hear that. Amen? All right, so that bothered me earlier when I really didn't address the practicalness and the responsibility, because many of us, we just don't do that. But we end up in the midst of it. And if you don't do anything about it, then you do it. You know what I mean? You allow that to fester, you know what, in the church. And you need to be sure that you don't do that. It's a kind thing to tell someone they have chocolate on their face. Now, whether or not they get in front of a mirror and wipe it off, that's not your responsibility. But it is a loving thing to say, hey, you know, you've got something going on there. And you can do that. And how are we supposed to do it? We're not supposed to do it. We're supposed to make some correction in love. You be gracious. You know what? I was gracious. I just said, hey, whoa, don't do that. We don't do that here. That's not right. And then we just moved on. We were all playing music and singing and moving on. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest, amen? Or so we hope so.